Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, hello again.
Hello again. I am doing just dandy. I hope you are too. We're here with another show. We're going to talk about wrestling of the Joshi variety.
Not to look too far ahead, but an exciting week. I'm excited to talk about. Feels like there wasn't a lot in the last 2 weeks, but some exciting things coming up. So we're going to have plenty to talk about. But before we do, we of course have to get in the plugs. Follow us on Blue Sky at JBomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tay Mambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really love a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. And this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio is brought to you by the NFL Shop. The NFL Shop is your source for officially licensed NFL apparel and gear for all 32 teams. Browse a leading assortment of official NFL merchandise from trusted brands, including Nike, New Era, and Fanatics branded. Gear up for the upcoming season with all of the latest jerseys for your favorite teams and players. Available here at the official NFL Shop. Start shopping today at voicesofwrestling.com/JBA. NFL, that is JBA NFL. So let's get right into
boop.
Kelly, the first show we're going to talk about is Sendai Girls' latest show. Happened mere hours ago.
Yeah,
in fact, I think started 13 hours prior to when we're recording.
I think so, yeah.
Senjo the Biggest from I believe ZBO. How would you say that, Kelly?
I would go ZBO.
Shibio. Arena Sendai happening, of course, today as we're recording July 12th. Kelly, your thoughts on Senjo the Biggest?
I had a great time with this show. I thought it was really good. Though I will say, the title of the show, very confusing as to where this takes place. Full title of the show is Senjo 20th Anniversary Tour in Sendai Pit. Isn't Sendai Pit a venue? Or am I losing
my
mind?
Where did you see that?
That's like the full title of the show on Cage Match.
Oh, well.
And then Senjo the Biggest at the end of it.
Interesting. Is that because it's a tour? You know, sometimes
maybe
they do like, oh, it's the tour, and it started in Sendai Pit?
Possibly. I mean, it's a Sendai Girls show with a title. Like, that's noteworthy enough on its own. Typically, they're just like, hey, come see Sendai Girls.
Because the previous one was Sendai Girls in Sendai Pit, The Sky is the Limit, which was at Sendai Pit. I have a feeling that's a Cage Match.
God damn it, Cage Match. You've made me look like a fool for the last time.
Because the others are all properly
where named. They are, yeah.
You know what I think it might be, weirdly? I think every time they're in Sendai, at least on this tour, they've been at Sendai Pit. So I think maybe in the system, it was like, oh, they're in Sendai again. Call it Sendai Pit. Because this 20th anniversary tour was here in May at Sendai Pit, was here in June at Sendai Pit, and now is back to Sendai, but of course is at ZBO Arena Sendai. So
okay, that makes sense.
I think a cage match error.
Yeah.
Rather than a... I think it would be weird for the promotion to call the show the wrong title. That would be very odd. I liked the show as well. I thought it moved along very quickly. I did, you know, in order to squeeze this show in before we record today, did do some very liberal fast-forwarding through some videos and entrances and match conclusions. But I enjoyed myself. So let's get right into it. The show opened with a tag team match, Ryo Mizunami and Sayori Ano defeating Hiroyo Matsumoto and Yura Suzuki in 7 minutes and 1 second. My main takeaway from this is Sayori Ano, congrats on this hard-earned paycheck, where she was in the match for 30 seconds?
Maybe, yeah.
Look, it was a nice warm-up, you know, Ryo Mizunami coming out, let's fuck at the house party.
Yep.
You know, getting the crowd into it, the crowd was into it, they were having fun, and it ended. It did what it was supposed to do, but it was largely Ryo facing off against Hiroyo and Yura Suzuki here. So, fine, but had to laugh at the end when I was like, oh, Sayori taking the night off and getting a paycheck.
Yeah, Mizunami is kind of your ideal opening match wrestler. Like, if you don't have anything really substantial for her on the card, stick her in the opener, let her get the crowd hyped up.
The next match was a singles match visiting, also from Stardom, but working a little bit harder, Saya Iida defeating Minami in 7 minutes and 12 seconds. Kelly, what'd you think of this one?
I really liked this match. I thought Saya definitely worked a lot harder than Ciari. She was bumping like a maniac for Minami, and even though Minami lost, she came out of this looking really good, I thought. But yeah, it was just it was a good match. Way higher effort than I would have expected. Just they did a lot with the time they had. I went 3¾ on it. This was a really, really good undercard match.
Yeah, I also really liked it. I went 3.5 stars. I thought it was really good. Two wrestlers I like, working hard, good action in a short amount of time. You know, like Minami, she was in that. I think they mentioned also on commentary in the 5-star Grand Prix. I don't even remember. Was Iida in it that year? Did they face off? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But I've always liked Minami. Obviously, we talked about it last episode. Like Iida, thought they worked really hard. Good action. I mean, did exactly what they should. Didn't stick around too long. Got the energy, kept the energy up. So definitely, I think, in fact, looking ahead, this might be like my third favorite match of the show.
It's up there for sure.
Which in a way I think speaks more to what's upcoming than anything else, but a very good match that I very much enjoyed. The next match was a tag team match, a debut match, Aja Kong and Miku Kanai defeating Reina Takano and Yuna, making her debut in 14 minutes and 23 seconds. I have to say that Yuna took like two moves and immediately looked like she was going to break down in tears. Like she had like a arm bar or something, or arm twist, and was like, ah, like dying. And I was sort of like, look, I understand the principle of, oh, you're the inexperienced wrestler, you know, things are going to be hard. But I think there sort of is a level of, I would hope that these people would come in this match having some sort of, like, it felt very much like they had picked someone out of the audience and been like, do you want to wrestle? And they were like, yeah. And then you do one move and they're like, ah, this really hurts. I'm like, haven't you been training for a long time? Like, it did get into the classic beats of the Aja rookie match where it's like, I'm fighting back. I'm hitting forearms and they're not working, but I have fighting spirit. That I was like, okay. But the beginning of the match, it was like, oh, I'm going to burst into tears at any moment because I really am not loving this. And sort of like, okay, I understand that, but it was just odd to watch for me at the beginning. Then she did a kip up and I was like, oh
yeah,
that's fun. But the beginning of the match was her like almost sobbing in the ring and I was like, I don't love this.
That's one thing I love about rookies that are just kind of still trying to figure out how to sell, and they kind of sell things just like they're regular people. I always find that very funny and just interesting in how they interact with the wrestlers around them when there's just like, I'm still kind of a civilian.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I'm going to sell like I'm actually dying. And it's like, we don't, like, we understand, but we don't really want that.
Yeah.
It's like, we like selling, but we want you to sell like, oh, I'm hurt, and not like, oh, I'm in physical pain of death. Especially maybe later in the match when you're like, oh, I have nothing left, I can't do it. But it was like, I'm gonna put an arm twist on, and she was like, oh god, why? And you're like, take it down maybe two or three notches in the first 3 minutes of this match. Other than that, it was fine. It was the Aja, you know, no one can, I'm the big bad, try and fight me stuff, classic stuff.
Yeah,
that was fine to me, but I've also seen it a bunch, so I wasn't blown away. I think there's better examples of that, and there have been better examples even in the last number of months. So it was fine, but really nothing I got too excited about.
See, we're kind of split on this. I thought this was an incredible debut for Reina.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I thought she showed a ton of fire and a lot of potential. Like, pretty much everything after when she did, like, the kip up. But it's like, oh, okay, her wrestler brain kicked in. There might be something here with her. And I thought she looked good. It's got to be intimidating to have your first match be against Aja Kong. But I thought she acclimated herself well as things went on. And just had put on a really entertaining match. And I think it also helps to have someone like Miku in there too, who is also a very good, very young wrestler. Who, one thing that I took note of is watching her, she does drop kicks like exactly like Sari does. Like, they are just picture the exact same movement in every way. It's very cool to see that. But yeah, I went 4 stars on this. I thought it was great.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. The next match was a singles match. Daisuke Sakamoto defeating Super Sasadango Machine in 8 minutes and 31 seconds. Kelly, I don't even think you watched this, correct?
Nope. No, I wanted to make sure I was done with the show in time for this show, so I skipped it.
I did watch it. I would say I have no notes. Also, it's not Joshi, so I didn't really feel that invested in it. And it was about what you would expect a 2026 Daisuke Sakamoto and Super Sasadango Machine match to look like.
Yeah.
Also really hurts when the big highlight of Sasadango Machine is the PowerPoint and no English commentary on the show, which is fine, but it's like, I don't really know what's being said. I can sort of guess. And then the match starts and you're like, oh, this looks like they're just having a match. Like, they just went out and they're like, we'll do some 8-minute, you know, match. Okay. And we're done. But moving on from that and going back to Joshi, or at least mostly Joshi, we had an 8-person tag team match. Jaguar Yokota, Saira. Is that how you say that?
I don't know.
Senjo Daikannon and Unagi Sayaka defeated Anita Vaughn, Kurishio Tokyo Japan, Sapphire Reed, and Stephanie Mays. My single note on this was fuck everyone in this match except for Sarah, who ruled. And in fact, Kelly was watching the show and told me he skipped this match. And I said, no, you have to watch it. Go back, skip the entrances that take half the running time of the match.
Yeah, I skipped it, it went by like half an hour. I was like, oh, thank God.
Sarah in the Uptown promotion debuted, I believe, 2 months ago. And I was like, she rules. She's so good.
Yeah, she was really good.
The German wrestlers were all fine.
Jiro and his gaggle of white women.
Jiro, like even Unagi was annoying me with the band.
Yeah, I don't know why she's made that her thing in recent months, but I feel like every match I've seen with her lately has that bit, and I don't care for it.
But it was also the bit of like, oh, we did it wrong. Let's do it again. Oh, yeah. We did it wrong again. We got to do it again. Oh, we did it wrong. Oh, we're laughing. Oh, my God. I'm like, yeah, there's someone who's been doing this for many years who's much better at it than you are.
Yeah.
Stop doing this. So, like, everyone annoyed me. And then Sarah would, like, do a shooting star press. And I would be like, what the heck? I know on commentary they were talking, like, I think talking about how she loves Dragon Kid or something.
Okay.
They brought up Dragon Kid and I was like, I could see it with all of this stuff, but bring her back.
Brilliant looking shooting star.
So, you know, she's not just in Uptown. I hope she's other places. I hope this is also people figuring out that she's really good. And Senjo Daikannon was nothing. Right?
He did the choke slam.
Yeah, he did one move. They did one move. I don't know.
Is yeah, true.
Statue a man or a woman?
I did enjoy them just standing on the apron, totally motionless, except for when someone would bounce into the ropes, and then they made sure to hold onto the ropes so they didn't get tossed.
Well, also, I think they did the choke slam and then like readjusted their gear, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, got to make sure the gear looks good.
I thought they were getting ready to like get into the ring.
Well, yeah, I thought, oh, they've been activated by doing this slam. And then I was like, oh, never mind.
It reminded me of a movie called The Great Buddha Arrival, where there's a giant Buddha statue that just kind of is motionless for the most part that goes through Tokyo as a kaiju, almost, that is based on a 1934 Lost kaiju movie. So thought that was an interesting thing. I was like, I wonder if that's what this is referencing, but who knows.
But a match I would absolutely not recommend, except for the fact one person is very good in it.
Yeah.
Then we got to the business end of the card. Three title matches in a row. The first one, the Sendai Girls Junior title match. Spike Nishimura finally defeating Senka Akatsuki to win the title in 9 minutes and 51 seconds. I thought this was a good match. I think it's good to get Senka more of these matches where she's supposed to sort of be 50-50 on the offense, because I think we talked about the last time we were covering a Senka match is that I think the reliance on her being this scrappy underdog means she hasn't really developed a solid offense. It looked a lot more solid here. So I think getting her in these matches where she's supposed to be, you know, you're on offense and it should look like it hurts and it should do all these things makes her better. Makes sense. Spike was winning because they've run this match now like four times or something. And I think Spike losing again would have been a little bit goofy. But interested, I think the most interesting thing is this the Senka elevation move at this point to get her out of the junior, you know, you lose the junior title and you move up? Or are we still going to wait a bit? I could see either at this point. But a good match, wasn't, you know, blown away by it, but I thought it was very solid.
Yeah, I wasn't super wowed by this. I thought it was fine. It never really clicked with me like I was hoping it would. I thought it was a little sloppy at times, but like they didn't blow any major spots, so I can't super complain about it. I'd probably go around like 3.25, 3.5 in that range.
Then the semi-main event of the show was the Sendai Girls Tag Team title match. The Red Energy duo of Mika Iwata and Miyuki Takase retain their titles, defeating Bob Bob Momo Banana, Mio Momono, and Yurika Oka in 17 minutes and 5 seconds. Kelly.
I had the realization during this match that Bob Bob Momo Banana are basically what if Pom Harajuku and Raku were like elite level workers. It's like their matches have very much the same vibes, but then Bob Bob Momo Banana are awesome. And like at one point, Yuriko Oka just pulls out a shoot headbutt as just like a transition move. It's very funny. I did enjoy when Oka runs in and whapped Iwata in the head with the banana, and the commentator just goes, "Oh, banana!" Like it's fucking a chair or something. Like that popped me. These two teams always deliver when they're together, so this was great. I was very happy with it. It was cool to see Mika Iwata win a match on a big stage. That was nice. I'm glad they let her win, because that doesn't happen very often. And she really just beat the bricks off of those two girls. Just beat the absolute shit out of them. Had some real nasty looking kicks. Just like, this was great. I went 4.25. This kind of high speed versus hard hitting match is always like a winning combination for me.
It's funny you say that, because my thought was the last few big, you know, quote, I guess maybe quote unquote big Bob Bob Momo Banana matches, I've gone in being like, this is going to be so good. It's going to be amazing. And they've been good matches, but like a level below what I'm sort of expecting. Like I remember back to the FWC match where I was like, this is going to be so good. And it was solid. I think I might have gone like 3.75, but I was expecting like 4.5, where I was like, it's not quite at this level. This was the one where I was like, yes, this is what I expected.
Yeah.
Have been expecting in this match. I thought it was really good. Highlighted the finishing sequence with Mika and Yurika Oka was really good. My note was, if... if not for the criminal, the legendarily criminal booking over years, think of how good Mika Iwata would be considered.
Oh, yeah.
She's so good. And I was like, thank God she won, getting a good win. But I'm like, she's so good, and no one talks about her because every time she gets any sort of momentum, she has to, like, banana peel lose like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, she's so great. I thought she was really great in this match. I thought all four were really good. But just that finishing sequence, great near falls, you know, high energy, constant energy. I thought it was really good. I also went 4.25 stars. Really enjoyed it. And this was the thing where I was like, yes, this is the Bob Moba Banana match that, like, every time they get announced against a big team, I'm like, this is what I expect.
Yeah.
Like, really good. It helps, you know, again, to be across two really great workers.
These two teams have specifically just great chemistry. Like, you just go back to the match where, was it Mio got hurt? And they kind of just had to call the match on the fly with just Oka versus Red Energy. And it was still fucking incredible. I love that match.
Yeah. They do. I mean, they're all four. I think individually you'd be like, oh, they're all great workers. So it's like, okay, they get together and they're all great workers.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely a highlight of the show. Really happy. I was like, yes, this is it. And then we get to the main event of the show. The Sendai Girls World Champion, Chihiro Hashimoto, defeating Venny in 22 minutes and 54 seconds, nearly 23 minutes. Kelly, I don't know if it was in the middle or near the end of this match. I thought of something and I was like, I have a hot take.
Oh.
For the podcast.
Oh. Let's get spicy.
And then I was thinking about it and I was like, actually, I don't think this is a hot take.
Oh.
I think that everyone should agree with me. The last 10 years of Joshi. So vaguely, you know, maybe not exactly 10 years, but vaguely 2016 to 2026.
Okay.
Chihiro Hashimoto is the best Joshi wrestler of the last 10 years. And I don't think it's very close.
The only person I would put up against her is Sari.
But Sari was gone in WWE for like 4 years.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, there's a 4-year period where Sari had no matches, essentially.
Yeah.
I'm like, and everyone, you could be like, oh, so-and-so is really good. I'm like, yeah, but they missed, you know. Suri's another one. It's like Suri was not active that whole time, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Hashimoto going back to it was either 2016 or 2015, that series of matches with Suri.
Yep.
You know, then Suri leaves and she keeps going. I mean, every one of these big matches that she has on these Sendai Girls shows are always good.
She never misses.
She never misses. And it's like, if you're going to put someone in the main event and you want to guarantee a good match, I am picking Hashimoto 100%. These are always good. And that leads me into saying this match was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. We talked about either last episode or two episodes. It's like, oh, it's sort of a bummer that Venny is sort of putzing around these undercards of these indie Joshi shows. And then comes here and is like, oh yes, this is the thing that we were all like, she's so good. Like, oh, a reminder, is this the thing that's, you know, I don't think she has the sort of momentum she did a couple years ago where it was like, she is so good. Everything's coming up, Venny. This is amazing. You know, I think some of that sort of momentum, not having to do with anything in ring, but just her position in the world of wrestling, I think has gone down a little, but, you know, comes here and it's like, this match was amazing.
Yep.
It was so good. It was exactly what you would think these two could do. As Venny's entry video weirdly said, "Leave that humdrum place of glum behind, Kelly," which I found so weird. I rewound the video to be like, "What? Why does that say that?" Just like tough. I don't even really know what to say because it's like, have you ever seen a good Chihiro Hashimoto match? This was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fighting spirit, those crazy suplexes, headbutts, everything you want. I went 4.5, although I'm so on the border of 4.75. Like, if someone was like, you need to give this 4.75, I would be like, okay, I will. Like, I'm very convincible. Where I was like, I think 4.5, just because there isn't really, beyond it being so good in ring, there isn't really that extra oomph of like, oh, it's part of a great story, you know, it's the end of something, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of like, this is a great match. It's so good. But I was like, it's so good that maybe it's 4.75, but I went 4.5. So I'm very interested to hear what you thought of it.
I was also 4.5. I thought, you know, this was awesome. Vaney was really good here. And I kind of, there's a couple moments where I was like, maybe she's going to pull this out. I thought her limb work on Hashimoto's arm was really good, even though it kind of didn't really amount to much in the story of the match. That honestly, that's what kept me from going 4.75, was I wish that would have played some kind of role going further into the match. But even so, it was still really good. They both worked so hard in this match. Chihiro ate so many boots to the face. Like, my goodness, she just... And you could tell after the show, she was red and beat up. Like, she really took some shots. I don't think I've really thought about this comparison prior to this show, but having Sekimoto on this card, it really made me think, like, this kind of match reminded me so much of, like, that golden age of Big Japan with, like, Sekimoto and Okobayashi and all those dudes just beefing around and hitting each other real hard. Like, this is the closest we have to that right now. And it's funny, you know, Sekimoto is on the show and Hashimoto is doing a better Sekimoto match than Sekimoto can do.
I always think about, you know, obviously we have this podcast. There are people, I think Joshi as a whole is in a much stronger place than it was 10 years ago, or even probably 5-7 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
I just think about, like, in 25 years, people going back, because, like, people don't really talk about, like, Joshi people do, but regular people don't talk about Chihiro Hashimoto.
No.
Like, now, a lot of people in Stardom get talked about, which they deserve. There's a lot of really great people there, but they've got the backing. You know, Tokyo Joshi gets some talk, which is also deserved. But it's like, people outside of Joshi, no one talks about Chihiro Hashimoto.
In, like, the English-speaking fandom, like, I would say Hashimoto's biggest supporters probably are from Europe because she works there every now and then. And they are exposed to her and, like, holy shit, this woman rules.
Yeah, and I just think in 25 years, people being like, oh, here's some wrestling that no one ever talks about featuring one of the greatest wrestlers of the time.
We discovered this lost media featuring a wrestler named Chihiro Hashimoto.
But it's just crazy. She's so good.
Is this the best match you've never seen?
If the world even exists in 25 years. Maybe
we should
no
just start making YouTube videos like that.
I mean, we probably could.
Yeah, we'd probably be really good at it.
Yeah.
Did you know they let women wrestle?
Yeah, except then we'd have to fight off all the comments that are like, but they're women. They could never be as good as the men. They're not, you know, they're no Danhausen.
Yeah.
Because Danhausen knows how to connect with a crowd.
Women aren't just for gooning to.
Okay. I was going to say we're moving on, but I'm not sure I want that to be the end of our Semi-Girls review.
Look, that's gonna be our like first YouTube video, and it's gonna get so many hits. We're gonna be rich.
Anyway, the match is great. Go out of your way to watch this match. It's on Wrestle Universe. That's the other thing now. I'm like, look, I'll say it. Wrestle Universe, Cyber Fight, abandon Marigold.
Stop propping up Rossi. Okay, we're gonna. So here's our YouTube channel. We're gonna do a Bricks and Minifigs type saga, but about Rossi. We're gonna take him down. We're gonna take down Rossi. What's he hiding under that hat?
Well, that could be an 11 million part video.
See?
Anyway, Wrestle Universe, get behind Sendai Girls and forget about Marigold. That's what I say.
Yeah.
All right. What else happened in the last 2 weeks of Joshi? Well, we talked about it on the previous episode, but we had a big World of Stardom title match at the Stardom Cork and Hall show on June 30th. Suzu Suzuki retaining the World of Stardom title, defeating the challenger Utami. Another match. I thought this was really, really good. I went 4.25 because of one major issue I had with this match.
Okay.
There were at least three occasions of late kickouts.
I've been noticing that a lot lately.
At least three that were not 2.9, that were like 3.2.
Yes.
And I was like, what is going on? Because then you see the hold of the hand by the ref, and you're like, nothing's happened yet. And then it's a kickout. The first one, I was like, okay, you miss one. It happens. The timing isn't right. But I was like, it kept happening. And I was like, why is this still happening? Like, kick out. At this point, they're trying to get close to three, but it's like, you're not hitting three. You're not close. But the action was really good. I really liked it. I went 4.25 stars. I thought it was really strong. Really, I'm very happy to see Suzu win.
Yes.
Because that's interesting to me.
Yes, I was very worried she was just a transitional champion here, but it looks like she's going to get an actual run.
Yeah, and I think if Utami wins, you're like, okay, they're going back to Utami. It will be what it's always been. But now I'm like, I don't know what it's going to be.
It's it's far more interesting for her to lose and be like, all right, well, what do I do now?
Exactly.
I can't just walk in here and dominate like I did in Marigold.
Then there were some 5-star Grand Prix qualifying matches throughout the 2 weeks. We'll talk about that shortly. And then on the 8th, Stardom had another Cork. And I also have to say, I'll say this. I'll stand tall saying this. Stardom, stop calling all your Cork and Hall shows the same thing. Every Corican Hall show is Nighter in Corican Hall. And I'm like, can't we think of any other names of shows?
Well, that goes to what I was saying earlier with Sendai Girls, where for the longest time, all of their shows were just called Sendai Girls.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, call it, I don't know, something. Tag match in Corican Hall. Something else, because I'm just looking at these all these Corican shows, and it's like Nighter and Corican Hall, Nighter and Corican Hall. I'm like, okay, let's think back on the great Corican Hall shows. What was it called? Oh, which one was it?
It was definitely called Nighter and Corican Hall.
They're all the same exact name. But on the 8th at Corican Hall, the Neo Genesis duo of Azumi and Miyu Amasaki defending successfully the Goddesses of Stardom title against Hi-Hi Mate, Hanako and Micah. What else has been going on in Diana? Miran defeated Coco to not retain the Diana Crystal title, as we talked about last episode. And then in the main event of that show on July 5th, Ayako Sato and Hanako Nakamori becoming the Diana Tag Champions after they defeated Haruka Umesaki and Unagi Sayaka. And the Catch the Wave tournament has come to an end. Yes.
They caught it.
We hardly knew you because you didn't air. Haruka Umesaki defeating Hanaka in a sub 13 minute finals match, which a little bit odd. But Haruka Umesaki is now the number one contender for the Regina DeWave title, currently held by Tsuki Aoki. That title match will happen in August. Also happening in the last 2 weeks, the Just Tap Out JTO 7th anniversary show at Korakuen Hall on July 10th. Two big matches there. Saya Kamatani defeating Azusa Inaba. Kelly, both you and I watched this match. I have to say, I thought it was good. I probably would have gone 4 stars. I think I was a little bit over expectant because both you and John from Wrestling Omakase, big hype for the match. So I think I went in expecting,
I don't know,
something
if
life-changing.
I big hyped it. I just said it.
Well,
was...
I think the combination of John did big hype it.
Yeah. I went 4 on it too.
Okay. So we were even. Very yeah. good match. Very enjoyable. And then Kelly, I know you watched the JTO girls title match.
Yes.
Where Tomoka Inaba defeated Mirai to win that title. What do you think of that match?
That match was really good too. I went 4 on that as well. I actually learned in talking to John, the Mirai title win never aired, which is very funny. Because going into this show, I didn't know that she was champion, and then to find out that title match never aired is very good. Like, it's 2026. What are we doing? But the JTO 7th anniversary show was very fun. I watched all of it and I enjoyed it quite a bit. Definitely worth a watch. Pretty full Korakuen. I think they got like 1,100 or something roughly people in there. Some fun stuff on the undercard. Nothing like must see, but it's, yeah, it's a fun anniversary show. I just like seeing the people that Taka finds. Like, I really enjoy the new trainee he's got, where she's a big lady and her gimmick is I play the clarinet. Like, why not? Sure.
Yes, and I think Taka had threatened that if they didn't draw 1,000 people to Korakuen, they would never run Korakuen again. But they've done it. So look forward to more JTO Korakuen Halls. All right, what is coming up in the next 2 weeks? Well, we got a lot of big things coming up in the next 2 weeks. The first one is the beginning of the 5-Star Grand Prix. Big news coming out just recently, which is that Bea Priestley is injured and will not be a part of the tournament. She is being replaced by someone who is currently only known by X. So we will have to see who that is. But Bea Priestley, I don't believe, was scheduled to have a match in the first 5 days.
That's crazy.
Of the tournament. So I don't, in terms of what's coming up in the next 2 weeks, which we'll talk about in a second, I don't believe her absence affects these shows, but we'll go through them now.
Yeah, that's the thing with these kind of tournaments where it's like when we're talking about the standings and where people are, you always got to look and it's like, oh, okay, that person only has 2 points because they've had a match, in even though we're halfway through the tournament.
Yeah, so it's really, and there are some, especially coming up, where it's like Red wrestles a lot early, the Red blocks wrestle a lot early and then not late, so there's definitely some imbalance here. But actually the first 3 days are balanced. Day one, happening on July 18th, will be at Oda Ward. 8 matches here in the Red A block. Sayaka Karara and Akira Kirigane. Tomoka Inaba will face off against Itsuki Aoki. Mei Sierra against Rina Yamashita in the Red B block. And also in the Red B block, Saya Iida against Azusa Inaba. over on the blue side in A, Aya Sakura against Hanako and Miyu Amasaki versus Ruaka. And in the B block, Koguma versus Kyoko Furusawa and Yuna Mizumori versus Momo Watanabe. I have to say, Kelly, usually this opening day of the five-star, one of the highlights.
It's year not a very year. Stacked show.
I was just going to say, not for me personally, not a lot of excitement.
Like, my most anticipated match is easily May Sierra versus Rina Yamashita.
I think Ida and Inaba could be fun. I think I'm interested to see Yuna Mizumori and Momo Watanabe. Momo yes. Watanabe coming back. Yuna with a good opportunity. But there's, you know, other than that, not too much excitement.
No.
On this match, where I'm used to seeing, like, oh, here's the heavy hitters that you won't believe on this first day, and you've got like 6 4-star matches, and it's the best show you've ever seen.
Yeah, it's like everyone works. It's a huge show. Every, like, previous title matches are your main event. Like, it, yeah, this does not stand up to past 5-star lineups.
Then the next day on the 19th will be day 2 in Toyohashi. Over on the red side, Tomoki Inaba against Natsuko Tora and Saya Kakurara versus Rina in the red A. Red B will have Utami versus Rina Yamashita and Mei Sierra versus Maki Ito. And on the blue side in A, Suzu Suzuki versus Hina, Rion versus Ruaka, and the B will have Ami Sore versus Koguma and Hanan versus Kyoko Furusawa. Kelly, what's your most anticipated match of this show?
Is Rina Yamashita saving this tournament for me? Because that match against Utami is looking real good. There's really nothing else on this show that I'm super interested in.
I guess Mei Sierra versus Maki Ito might be interesting.
Yeah, it depends on what Maki Ito shows up.
Very true.
Is she working a hard match or is she doing bits?
Then the very next day again will be day 3 in Osaka on the red side. Sayaka Karara versus Tomoki Inaba. Azumi versus Micah in red A. Red B will be Rina Yamashita versus Azusa Inaba. Saya Ida versus Lady C. Blue block A. Miyu Amasaki against Hanako and Aya Sakura versus Hina. And in the B block, Momo Watanabe versus Kyoko Furusawa and Hanan versus Koguma. I will say there is a lot riding on, you know, it's possible like Furusawa comes out and it's like, holy shit, it's her coming out party. And a lot of this looks better.
Yeah.
But a lot of these matches are on the younger. It's like Carrara versus Inaba could be good. It mm-hmm. could also not be good. Azumi versus Micah is probably my match of this day.
Yeah.
I would say. Again, for you, Kelly, maybe Rina.
Yeah, Rina versus Azusa Inaba could be good.
Then we have a little bit of a break. And then on July 24th, it is a red-only day for Red A, for Red B matches. Rina versus Akira Kurigane, Saika Karara versus Micah, Tomoki Inaba versus Azumi, Itsuki Aoki versus Natsuko Tora. And on the B side, Lady C versus Rina Yamashita, Mei Sierra versus Konami, Utami versus Azusa Inaba, and Saya Ida versus Maki Ito. Tomoki Inaba versus Azumi?
I was thinking that or Carrara versus Micah.
I think low key, this is maybe going to be a hot take. I think Aoki versus Tora could be a dog of the tournament.
I was actually thinking that could be the worst match of the tournament as well.
I think there's probably other matches that we that could line up where you're like, oh, this could actually be it. But I think that's an underrated. I think I'm on a different, and Kelly, you probably are too, on a different end. I see a lot of love for Aoki on online, and I just don't really understand it.
I like her just fine, but like that's it. That's where
but
it tops
to me,
out.
She's like a replacement where it's like, okay, she's a total like not negative, not positive, and in a singles tournament that goes on for many days.
That's
it's
not
like
great.
The exact type of person where you're like, oh, they're gonna come out, it's gonna be 3 stars, it's gonna be 2.5 stars. And you know, on day 4 that might be okay, on day not 4,
yeah,
it's gonna be tough. So that's, maybe having this early will help.
That's when you're like, you know what, maybe I'll close my eyes, take a little nap.
And then day 5, which is on July 26th, the last show of this 2-week period, another red block show. Jeez, red and A. Another red show. A block, Rina versus Natsukatora, Sayaka Carrara versus Azumi, Tomoki Inaba versus Maika, and Itsuki Aoki versus Akira Kirigane. In the B block, Lady C versus Konami, Rina Yamashita versus Maki Ito, May Sierra.
Oh, a GCW offer match.
May Sierra versus Azusa Inaba and Utami versus Saya Ida. So some fun things. Both Inaba sisters in fun matches. Utami and Saya Ida could be fun. So some things there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is a solid lineup overall.
And then we will be back in 2 weeks to talk to you even more. Hopefully by then we will know, well, we better know who X is by that point. And that is the big Stardom. It's going to, as it always does, it's 5-star season. So that will be the focus of Stardom. Seedling has a show coming up on July 26th. Not too much of interest there. Tokyo Joshi. Also diving into a big time, they have Summer Sun Princess coming up, a very big show. The card is as follows. They will see their newest wrestler debut, Momo Sato. She will debut. It will be Uta Takami and Ren Kanatsu versus Shion Kanzaki and Momo Sato, making her Tokyo Joshi, her long-awaited,
no,
Kelly.
No,
her long-awaited
no,
Tokyo
no,
Joshi debut.
No.
It will be Shin Sakura Katsushika Hirota teaming with Himawari and Mifu Ishida to take on Raku, Palm Harajuku, and Chika Nanase. Look, I'll say this. I'll land on the positive side. This is at least hopefully going to shake up this usual Raku Palm undercard match.
Yeah. It'll remember like last time when we were just like, hey, maybe Chika Nanase might be kind of good.
Yeah.
She ain't got that opportunity this time.
But we will see. I would say, you know, the argument is, I would say, one of the most legendary Joshi comedy wrestlers of all time, debuting in one of the most prominent Joshi comedy promotions.
That is kind of surprising that this hasn't happened before.
Yeah, especially because she's seemingly everywhere at all times.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Could be interesting. But also it's on the undercard. So if it's no good, then what does it really matter?
Close my eyes, take a little nap.
Then we have a tag match, Yuki Aino and Haru Kazushiro facing off against Mirai and Toga. This could be a lot of fun.
Here
I'm
we go.
This one.
That's a cool match.
Then it will be Aja Kong taking on Arisa Endo. That
okay.
Should be interesting.
All right. Keep on winning me back.
Then it will be Yuki Kamifuku, Kumadori, and Sakura Hattori versus Sanshiro Takagi, Yumihito Imanari, and Mihiro Kiryu. Kelly, I am not familiar with Kumadori. I don't know
who that is either.
This
is a very strange match.
This is a Yuki Kamifuku. Did we talk about this last episode? Retiring?
Yeah. I think we did. No, I think that happened after we recorded.
Oh, did it?
I believe so. I could be wrong.
Well, I believe this is a you're retiring, so what do you want to do on the show type match? Which is fine. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Mizuki was facing off against a mystery wrestler, which has just recently been revealed to be Willow Nightingale.
Cool match.
Returning to Tokyo Joshi, Jokyo Toshi.
That's what it's going to be after Sakura Hirota's here.
I said they're a prominent comedy promotion. That's a free one, Jokyo Toshi. should be a good match. Supposedly Willow asked for Mizuki, I believe, so that should be good. And then we get to the business end of the card. The International Princess title is on the line as Suzume defends against Wakana Uehara. Kelly, do we end up with a new champion here?
I don't think so. But I'm hoping we get a very good showing out of Wakana. And if anyone can guide her through a good match, it's Suzume.
I think it could be interesting. Of course, I'm always Daisy Monkey pilled.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, they're going to put Daisy Monkey back together. So I'm like, she's got to lose the title. So this is the time to do it. But we'll see. Interesting to see how Wakana does here. I think the tag team in the long run is or was probably a net negative for her in terms of in-ring work.
Oh, yeah.
So it will be interesting to see if she can come out here, have a good match. That's my major hope. I think if she comes out and has a good match, that'll be fine if she wins. And, you know, if she comes out and has a good match and loses, then that's also fine as well. But we will see. Then the Princess tag team titles are on the line. The reluctant challengers, Shoko Nakajima and Hyper Masao, who did not want this match, will challenge Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi. Should be a good match.
Yeah, this feels like Tokyo Joshi kind of old reliable. Like, you're going to stick these four in a match, probably going to be good.
And then the main event is the Princess of Princess title match. Yuki Arai, the champion, will defend against the ace of Tokyo Joshi, Miyu Yamashita. I mean, Yuki's got to win, right?
I think so.
This does feel like a trap where 3 or 4 years ago, Miyu would win.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
But I'm like, to me, you push sort of all the chips in, and it is working,
mm-hmm.
It appears. I don't know what number this show is going to draw, but we'll see. But it's been doing very well. The promotion has been doing very well. It feels like now you've got to be like, yes, this is our person. Also, going back to that Sendai Girls show, I did think in the middle of the main event, Tokyo Joshi should bring in Venny to train with Yuki Arai on kicks.
Yes. 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 Absolutely.
Because Venny like did a finally in
the
match.
She sure did.
And I was like, that looks great. Bring her in and essentially have her tell Yuki Arai, do it this way.
Yeah.
Don't do it any other way. Do it this way. But a good-looking card. I'm excited for this show. It should be good. Mm-hmm. Tokyo Joshi really on a hot streak, so I don't see why this changes that. And then, just a few days later, on the 20th of July, the Tokyo Princess Cup starts. Kelly, have you seen that they have been releasing these fun wrestler videos on their Twitter?
I haven't watched any of them. I saw them actually last night. I was looking for something else, and I saw that there was all these little like intro videos to each wrestler, and it's like, that's cool. I like that.
They're very fun. They seem, you know, it makes a big deal out of these. They're just sort of simple, like I'm standing in front of a screen pointing at the camera, but they're very cool. I thought they were very fun for all the Princess Cup entrants. So on the 20th, we will have the first round matches. This is in classic Tokyo Joshi style, where two wrestlers face off in the first round to then face a wrestler getting a bye in the second round. So the first round matches will be Uta Takami against Miyu Yamashita, Raku versus Mizuki, Ariso Endo versus Sakura Hattori, Wakana Uehara versus Mifu Ishida, Toga versus Momo Sato, who will be jumping right in to the deep end of the pool in the Princess Cup, Miyu Watanabe against Ren Kanatsu, Suzume versus Shion Kanzaki, and Haru Kazushiro versus Yuki Arai. Kelly, I ask you, because I don't really have an answer, who do you think wins this tournament?
I have zero idea. I'm going to make a bold declaration and say that Haru upsets Yuki Arai.
Interesting. In the finals?
No, in the the opening round.
I was going to say, I was like, what? Interesting.
Yeah,
I don't really know.
That's my bold declaration for this show.
So we will see. That will happen the 20th. Then they will have the next, they will have the round, I guess it's round two.
Yeah.
Matches where four of the winners from this show will face four of the wrestlers getting byes. So that will be Rika Tatsumi, Hyper Masao, Chika Nanase, and Himawari are the four wrestlers getting byes. So we'll see. Usually a show that sort of heats up, or a tournament, I should say, that heats up as it goes on, usually the first round are pretty short matches, but over the years, usually the final four, you know, final maybe eight, should be pretty good matches. So looking forward to it, and it's really wide open.
Yeah, the first round of this tournament is always just a struggle for me, because no matter what, the show is typically single cam with a very sleepy crowd. And I struggle like hell to watch that show.
But we'll see. I mean, it seems like maybe with them putting a little bit, you know, doing the videos, maybe they'll have a little bit more oomph behind these first round matches. But we will see what happens. Also, Sendai Girls is having a Korakuen Hall show on July 20th. I don't believe anything has been announced or hasn't been announced as of this moment. I would assume maybe doing Hashimoto and Shuri. Shuri came out at the end of the show?
Yeah, and I think they may have been talking on commentary about that. Like, I swear I heard something about like an anniversary something in just the little bit that I could grasp. So it might be then.
So things may have been announced by the time this comes out, but as of this moment, we don't know. Kelly, what has been going on in Choco Pro?
In Choco Pro on the 14th, we've got a show called It's Time coming up. That will be main evented with a Super Asia title match, Mia Yatsuba defending against Mei Suruga. And then also on that show, Rina Yamashita makes her return to Choco Pro after dropping the Super Asia title to Mia, and she will be facing Sayaka in a singles match. So those should both be good. Also on that show is going to be Chris Brooks and Bali Anaki teaming to face the Brahmin Brothers. So get excited.
All right. Well, that is just the little things coming up in the next 2 weeks. So when we return, we'll have Five Star Grand Prix, Summer Sun Princess, Tokyo Princess Cup, and more.
Oh, boy.
To talk about. But for now, we are all done. So I throw it over to Kelly for Kelly's Corner.
I went and did something yesterday. I left the house. Me and my friends took a little road trip down to Chicago. Went to the New Japan G1 opener there, had a good time. Even better time was seeing many members of the extended Voices of Wrestling family. I went to the barbecue at Chris Samsa's house, saw the captain, Rich, saw Wrestling Omakase's own John. That's where we talked about the JTO show. Saw Suit Williams, saw Good, the Bad, and the Hungy, Tyler. He gave me some Mountain Dew donuts, and I gotta say, delicious. Oddly enough, they taste more to me like 7-Up than they do Mountain Dew. Very, very limey, but they're very good. I enjoyed them. Ate a whole bunch of good food at Chris's house. We went to the show, had the sweet, double sweet, two sweets, back side to side. You know, living the sweet life. It was a good time, good show. And now I'm here doing this show.
There you go, plugging many of the other wonderful shows on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
I know there's others I missed, and I'm sorry if I missed you.
Well, that is all for us. Don't forget to get all of your gear for the upcoming season at voicesofwrestling.com/JBANFL. But until next time, stay cool.
Bum, 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 bum. Oh, that's right. I have to end the recording.
Hello. Do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.